A lot of times, we're always trying to please God, not realizing that God is actually working for our benefit to please us. He's actually on your side. He wants to see you succeed. He is fighting for you and with you, alongside you.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is 7 Tips for Spiritual Success, and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The 7 tips for spiritual success. There are some steps that we have to take to get to spiritual success. Well, yes, I know that we have to believe in Jesus Christ. I know that we have to give our life over to Him. That's important. That's the first step, right? But it doesn't stop there. You could be saved and live in defeat. You could be saved and live in defeat. There are plenty of Christians I know who are saved who are living defeatedly. There are things that we need to do, steps that we need to take as Christians to be successful. And today we're going to go over those. Amen. Okay. Our key verse is going to be in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. It's kind of a long verse, but there's some great principles in here. So if we could stand for one last time while I read this, we'll go through the seven tips for spiritual success. Jesus calls the first disciples, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your word. I pray, O God, that you will open our hearts to receive. God, I pray that you will anoint me to speak your words in the name of Jesus. We thank you. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. This is a telling tell. This passage of verse, tells us how God can sometimes ask us to do things that doesn't make any sense. Now, these were experienced fishermen. They'd been working all night. They'd been trying to catch some fish, yet nothing was happening. And they knew what they were doing. They were confident in what they were doing. They were sure of themselves. But when Jesus showed up, he told them to do something that to them didn't make any sense. But they obeyed, and they were blessed. And we're going to go over today 7 tips on how we can be spiritually successful. Almost everyone is interested in success. Who's interested in being successful? I know I am. I don't want to be a failure. Of all people in the world, Christians should want to succeed. Of course we want to succeed, right? What makes us different are our definition of success and our strategies to get there. Understand that our definition of success and our strategies to get there is different than the world's. It should be. Jesus taught these fishermen a lesson on spiritual success, and we too can learn from it. So again, our definition of success is not what the world says, right? And our way of getting there is not the same. We don't want to step on anybody getting to the, quote, top. And getting to the top isn't necessarily the Christian's goal of success. It's whatever God has called you to do in your life, that's your goal. If God called you to be a minister at the church, that is your goal. And that is your success when you reach that goal. If God has called you to clean the church, then you clean the church. And that is your goal of success. And you are successful when you reach it. But first and foremost, God calls us to be disciples. And we must be successful at that before we can be successful at anything else. Seven tips for spiritual success. Tip number one, accept the limitations of human efforts and plans. Human talent, ability, and effort can only go so far. Only God can take us all the way through to success. I've got talent. You got talent. I've got abilities. You've got abilities. But there is only so much that those things can do for us to take us so far spiritually. Ultimately, we have to lean on Jesus in order to succeed in the goals that he has set to us spiritually. Peter, Andrew, James, and John did all they knew to do and still had come up empty. They did everything. They had worked all through the night trying to get the fish. Now, some of us stay up all night worrying about other people. Some of us stay up all night worrying about our problems. Some of us stay up all night trying to figure something out, only to find out that God already took care of it, only to find out that the Lord already had it figured out. Not how you figured it out, not how you solved it, not by your might, not by your power, but by his Spirit. When you finally gave up and you listened to him. Some of us don't want to give up. Some of us don't want to listen to God. These fishermen knew they had to listen. While God gave us brains to think with, he still wants us to depend on him for all our needs. I'm sorry, a few of our needs. Some of our needs. Just the ones that we can't absolutely completely handle on our own. All of them. All of them. The Bible says that we were made for God's good pleasure. That means he wants to be involved in everything we do. Everything we do, he wants to be involved in it. He even wants to be involved in your sin. Because he wants you to accept Jesus Christ when you're committing those sins for your forgiveness. Everything we do, God wants us to depend on him. That doesn't mean we can't think for ourselves. Doesn't mean that we can't do for ourselves. It just means that he wants us to depend on him. That means we pray, we read the word of God, and we fellowship with other believers. We worship and we praise, and the Lord will guide our way. All right, tip number two. Tip number two is trust the word of Jesus, even if it doesn't make sense. Even if it doesn't make sense. Isaiah 55, 8, 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I think what this is saying is that God is smarter than us. I also think what this is saying is that God's got a different plan than what we got. See, when we make plans, we're often trying to figure out how it's going to benefit us. Let's be truthful, right? We are a little self-centered when it comes to making plans in life. When you make plans for your job, you're not thinking about your neighbor's income. You're thinking about your income. But maybe God is thinking about your neighbor. Maybe God is thinking about someone down the road when he's thinking about your job. And it doesn't make any sense. But the Lord, he's got different thoughts than us. He's got different ways. So trust the word of Jesus, even if it doesn't make sense. These men listened to Jesus and they were blessed. When people come up to you and you know they're filled with the Holy Ghost and they're speaking to you, even if you don't want to hear what they've got to say, you should listen to them. Because it's not them talking, it is God. Now, I don't always like what God has to say to me. I'm being truthful. There are times that God says things to me and it hurts my feelings, it hurts my pride, and it upsets me. And it doesn't make sense. But when I recognize it as being God talking, I have to submit to it because I know that he has my best interest in mind and he wants to take care of me even when it means telling me to do something that doesn't make sense to do. These men were experienced fishermen and Jesus was a carpenter. I want you to think about this for a minute. Jesus worked with wood and these men were fishermen. Now, unless he's building them a boat, why should they listen to him? Fishing was not his expertise. Unless he was building them a fishing rod, why were they listening to him? Because they knew that he was speaking spiritually. They saw beyond the man. They saw beyond the talent. They saw beyond the eyes. And they saw God. They heard God speaking to their hearts. Now, I'm just a pastor, and there are times when people come to me, and I pray with them, and the Lord will tell me something, and I will express it to that person, and I may not know what I'm talking about, but God knows, and a week or two later, I'll hear back from that person, not always, and they will often tell me, you know what? God must have been speaking, because I did what you told me. It didn't make sense, but it worked out. And it wasn't even my field of expertise. But when you got God, you've got the expert. Amen? They didn't see Jesus as a carpenter, but rather their teacher. See, when you forget that God is trying to teach you something for your benefit and for the benefits of others, you become the instructor. But the problem is, you're not qualified to teach God. I'm not qualified to teach God. These men did not see Jesus as a carpenter. They saw him as a teacher. They saw him as somebody that could be trusted. They saw him as somebody that needed to be obeyed because they loved God. They wanted to please God. They even knew that God loved them and that God wanted to please them. See, that's the other part. A lot of times we're always trying to please God, not realizing that God is actually working for our benefit to please us. He's actually on your side. He wants to see you succeed. God isn't fighting against you. He is fighting for you and with you, alongside you. These men saw that. This guy's for us. He wants us to catch fish. He's not telling us to go out here because he's trying to hinder us. He's trying to bless us. Seven tips for spiritual success. Tip number three, be willing to take risks. Now, this can be hard, spiritually speaking. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." So, first of all, we got to remember that we don't have a spirit of fear. If God tells you to do something and you know it's from God, be fearless. The book of Revelations talks about when Christ comes back, he's throwing the cowards into the lake of the fire. He's throwing the cowards into the lake of fire. Cowards do not speak up for Jesus. Cowards do not listen to God. Cowards run away. They're not fit for the kingdom. I didn't say this. The Bible says this. So we are not to have a spirit of fear, but of power. We've got Jesus on our side. Nobody can hurt you unless God lets them. And if God's letting them, you better be checking yourself. When Jesus asked them to go out, it was into the deep water. Woo! God ever ask you to go out into the deep? Step on out there. Oh, but the water's getting deeper. I know. Keep going. Lord, I'm up to my neck here. Yeah, keep going. I want to go back to the shore. Nope. Go out to the deep. Go out to the deep. Do you understand that as a church, we are asked to go out into the deep? We're going to have confrontation out in the deep. The sharks live out in the deep. Rarely ever do they go to the shallow water. The sharks like the deep water. The mean, bad fish are out there. But so's the good eating. So are the good catches. You understand what I'm getting at? You have to take some risks to serve God. If it was easy serving God, everybody would do it. And how would God get glory for that? God gets glory when people are standing up for him, doing what is right, even when it is dangerous for them to be doing it. It's in the deep waters of life where we learn to spiritually swim. Someone throws you into the deep water, you're going to be swimming a little harder and learning a little harder to do it. See, when God puts you into a trial or a tribulation, when he puts you into the deep waters, he's got your attention. Now, he would prefer to keep you on the beach and let the waves tickle your toes. That's where we like to be, wading in the water, where it's safe. But some of us can't learn in the kiddie pool. Come on now, give me an amen. You guys know yourselves better than me. Sometimes God has got to crack the whip and throw you into the deep water of life and say, look, you wouldn't listen to me on the beach. So I put you on a little raft and let you wade in knee-high water, but you wouldn't listen to me out there either. So the storm came and it blew you out into the deep. Now you're out here and now you're praying. That's where I want you. I want you praying and talking to me. I tried to be nice about this whole thing. I tried to tell the preacher man to get you praying. I tried to tell the preacher man to have you reading your Bible. But you weren't doing those things in the smalls of the water. You had to be thrown into the deep. Now you're out in the deep and you're afraid for your life. Now I got you out in the deep and your boat is leaking. It's filling up with water. And you're becoming a little afraid. Because you believe that because you're in the deep, Jesus ain't out there with you. Because if he was with you, why would you be in the deep? That's what Satan's telling you. But he's a liar. The Lord let you go to the deep so that you could learn to spiritually swim. Now you're praying with power. Now you're praying with faith. Because you know that if your prayer isn't answered this time, you're going to sink. So you better believe and you better pray. And you better hope to God and talk to him. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. This is where you spiritually learn how to swim. Satan would have you play it safe. Oh, you go to church, isn't that good enough? That's all you got to do is just come to church. Man, I'm going to tell you something. If all you're doing is sitting in church and you're not spreading the gospel of Christ, you're in disobedience to God. He says for all of us to go out to all of the world and proclaim the gospel. But Satan would say, oh, you can't do that at work. You could be fired. See, if you start talking about Jesus, they'll fire you. Oh, they'll fire you. And you won't have a job. So you can't talk about being saved at work. Oh, and your family will disown you. Play it safe. Play it safe. Just go to church and look good. Pray to God in private. Don't let anybody see you. Play it safe. You don't want to be out in that deep. You'll just be floating. Just floating. No adventure. Just getting by. Tip number 4. Persevere even through disappointment and fatigue. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. I'm going to tell you something that I had to learn spiritually. You can pray to God and you can say, I accept you, Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? Our faith is tested. When the disciples first started following Jesus, he asked them, what do you seek? He will test you. God will see whether or not you are going to stand with him through the trials. I'm going to put this in perspective. Jesus calls us his bride. That means we're married to him. Husbands, wives, do you desert your spouse? If you do, what happens? Divorce. Divorce. So when you meet your spouse and you start talking all these pretty words to them, they're going to test you. You will be tested on your faith. Listen, people will come to church and they'll say, I will serve the church. I will serve God. Pastor will test you on that. Well, I got a job for you. I'll be there as soon as I get done with everything else. I got a lot of people that say they want to help, but not everybody shows up for that help. Praise God for the ones who do. Praise God for the ones that do. But when God tests us, it's to build our relationship with him. And we should count it a blessing. The fishermen were tired, but willing to do their part. Listen, it's not a trial. If you got all the energy in the world to withstand it, if you got all the necessities you need to make it through, that's not a trial. What happened to Jesus was he was tested after 40 days in the wilderness. Satan didn't come to him at the beginning. He waited till he was hungry from fasting. He waited till he was tired. Don't you understand? The trials of life are going to come when you're on the ground already so Satan can kick you. That's why it's a trial. That's why it's a tribulation. It's to kick you while you're down. It's to defeat you. It's to break you. But God wants to use it to build you stronger. I got scars on my body. Those scars are stronger than the skin around them. Because I was cut in those areas. But my body compensated by making that area stronger. When you get cut by the trials in life, God ain't trying to cut you down. He's trying to build you up. Them scars that you are carrying are marks of Jesus. Battle marks. Satan tried to get you, but he couldn't do it. So the next time you start counting your woes, you need to count your victories. Because like the song says, you're still standing. Satan's going to hell, but you're going to heaven. We know the ending of the story. We know that we got the victory. We know we're blessed. They were discouraged, but willing to try again. You see, they've been up all night. They were exhausted. They were discouraged. They were giving up. I can't catch any fish. There's no fish to be caught. And now this carpenter's telling me to go out into the deep. Does he not know we've been out here already? I'm tired. I'm not only tired, I'm fed up. I'm done with it. But nonetheless, that's your instruction, huh? I'll trust you. Maybe, we don't know. Maybe somewhere in their heart they were thinking, I'll show him. Peter threw himself down, calling himself unworthy to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. Depart from me. God will direct you, but you still have to go in the direction he points. It is true that we have free will. We can choose to be with God, or we can choose to be without him. He will point you in the right direction, but you have to go in that direction. He's not going to piddle-paddle your feet across or drag you. When we think that God is following us because we are pushing our way through, that is delusional. We can sometimes do the same thing by believing that what we want to do is what God told us to do. because what he really told us to do didn't make sense, and we didn't like it, and we don't want to do it, and we're not going to do it, so we go our own way, and God understands. No, he does not. No, he does not. Seven tips for spiritual success. Number five, remember the importance of teamwork. Remember the importance of teamwork. Those fishermen work together to get those fish. We need to work together to get our fish. We're not here just to have a good time and feel good when we leave church. That's one of the side effects. But we're actually being called in to service to bring other people into this church. Not so that we can have a big fancy building and lots of gizmos. Those are great things to have. Praise God that we do got them. But he wants people before he wants stuff. He wants people to hear the message that he has, the message of grace, the message of love, the message of compassion, the message of mercy. Somebody had to tell us, right? Somebody had to tell us about Jesus. Why can't we return the favor by going out into all the world and telling somebody that Jesus loves you? He cares about you. And I know of a place that will give you more instruction. Now, if you can't evangelize, if you're not called to evangelizing, you can still invite people, right? You could still invite them to church. Andrew brought people to Jesus and let Jesus do the work. The fishermen worked together and they shared the catch together as well. This is our church. We're all a family. That's why when I talk about, look, whatever you want to see in this church, we all have to make it happen as a group. We can't just leave it to the other people. We all have to work together. The Bible says that the harvest is plentiful. That means there's plenty of lost people out there. But the workers are few. There are few workers that will actually sit in church and then stand and do the work of the church. And do the work. These men worked and they shared in the catch. That's the important thing. They shared in the blessings. They shared in the blessings. We can all share in the blessings. Since Jesus was the ultimate focus, it didn't matter who got the credit. It doesn't matter who gets the credit. Number six, remember, God can give us more than we ask or imagine. Do you know that sometimes when we ask God for something, we're asking for less than what he can give us? And there's several reasons why. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think according to the power at work within us. Don't you love that word all? I want to tell you something. When you pray and you ask God to do something for his kingdom, you can ask big. The sky's the limit. You got a big God. If you want something from God, ask big. Ask big. God, I want to serve you, and I want to do wonders for you. Show me how. Watch how your life starts to change. Watch how he starts to direct your paths. The catch of fish was even greater than they would have expected. They didn't think they were catching anything, let alone sinking the boat. That was far more than they imagined. That was far more. How did they get to that point from no fish to too many fish? One word. Anybody know what that word is? Obedience. They listened to the direction of God. They obeyed the direction of God. Some of us in here today are going around our mountain. Some of us today are being blown around in our storm. Some of us today are losing our victory because we're not obeying everything that God tells us to do. Sometimes I don't listen to everything God tells me to do. Sometimes I make mistakes. I make mistakes. Yes, pastor makes mistakes. But when I find out that I made a mistake, I humble myself and I get back on course. I'm not perfect. I don't pretend to be perfect. I don't want to be perfect because then everybody would be coming to me for all their problems. And I can't solve every problem. Most of the time, I know a lot of you do come to me, and you're welcome to. But I always point you towards Jesus, don't I? I always tell you, start with prayer. Our God delights in surprising us. How much surprise do you think those disciples had when they found out they had that much fish? Our God delights in surprising us. Don't you get it? That not only God wants to bless you, but he wants to surprise you. Every day could be like Christmas with Jesus. If you just believe that he wants to give you more than what you're asking for. All he asks in return is that you trust him and you follow the directions that he gives you to get to where he's trying to bless you. Jesus is the roadmap. All you got to do is follow that roadmap. There's a reason why you're here today. That roadmap X marks the spot on that map. Church, it's a starting point. God wants you here not just so you can be blessed, but so that you can be a blessing to others. Because you could be blessing somebody, and you never know how that blessing might turn out for you one day. Because you reap what you sow. When you're in church, you're getting the opportunity to sow some good seed into the kingdom of God. Every time you miss church, you're missing an opportunity to sow a good seed in the kingdom of God. Number 7 of the 7 tips for spiritual success, be humble in your success. Peter did not take credit for the success. In fact, he humbled himself before God and came face to face with his own unworthiness. You have to humble yourself to God who is speaking through the spiritual people he's placed in your life. Peter was astounded that Christ came to him and gave him directions, directions that he didn't believe would work because he did argue with them a bit, didn't he? Now, we've been up all night trying this. It's not working. But okay, I'll show you. When he found out that Christ is the teacher, Christ is God in the flesh, he didn't even want him in his presence because of the unworthiness. When we come to God's house, when we come to God in prayer, when we come to God in his word, we need to throw our faces down and say, God, I am unworthy to even read your word. I am unworthy to even speak your word. I am unworthy to even come into your house. But because of the grace of Jesus Christ, I am washed clean. I'm saved by grace. And I thank you and I praise you for that. When we get that kind of a heart in us, we can better listen to Jesus. We can better listen to the instruction that God has for us because he wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. And sometimes we'll have to take risks. Remember, after Jesus' resurrection, Peter, filled with regret, decided to go back to fishing. How many times have you guys had a disappointment in life and you said, that's it, I'm done, I'm going back to what I used to do? Now, in this verse, our key verse in Luke, Christ said, I'm going to make you catch men. He retired him from fishing. But Christ was dead. He was resurrected. Peter got impatient. He didn't want to wait. He was told to wait where? In Jerusalem. He got tired of waiting. He got impatient. I'm going fishing. Peter no doubt felt he had failed. Remember, he betrayed the Lord on the night of the arrest. Jesus came to him again and did a similar miracle. He evidently never forgot the lesson. He went from that place to become a great fisher of men. He became a spiritual success, and so can you. You now have the secrets. You now have the secrets. They never were secrets. They were in our Bible all along. But as we read the Bible and we humble ourselves and we listen to what God is trying to teach us through the stories of real people who lived, who experience life on these levels of spirituality, we can apply those principles to our lives. And if they work for them, they'll work for us. We've got something more powerful than the people of the Old Testament had. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've got God living within inside of us. We can hear, feel, and think like Jesus Christ if we submit our bodies to him.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.